months.
Okay, the boy side, today's daf is daf pei dalid, which is the same oisius as daf. And we're holding four lines from the bottom of pei gimel amud beis. And as you remember, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that chas v'sholom, someone who does a chabura, a chabola, he chas v'sholom damages somebody else, he has to go and pay chamisha dvarim. And the first one was nezek. What do you do with nezek? Even though literally the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, but the halacha is you go and give mamon, you give money instead of giving the actual eye for an eye. And now we're going to have from here for the next 20-30 lines, the Gemara is going to bring 6 or 7 or 8 different brises, each one attempting to prove that when it says in the Torah ayin tachas ayin, it doesn't really mean eye for an eye. It means mamon. It means compensation. Zok Yimar, Tanya, Reb Destoy ben Yehuda Imer, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Says the Braisa, Momin. It means money, it doesn't really mean Ayin. Maybe it really means eye for an eye, literally. If Reuven Chas Shalom knocks out Shimon's eye, you go and knock out Reuven's eye. So Yimar Amris, Harishahoyisa Einoi Shalzeh G'doyla V'Einoi Shalzeh K'tana. What happens if the victim had a large eye and the perpetrator has a small eye? You can't have a fair exchange of an eye for an eye if one has a grosser eye and the other has a kleiner eye.
Bad eye.
I'm sorry?
A bad eye.
But the Gemara literally doesn't look bad, it talks about size. Gedoylu or ktana. The art scroll speculates that the Gemara doesn't literally mean big or small, but rather it means someone who has greater vision and someone who has lesser vision. Somebody could have 20/20 and somebody can have 400/400 or whatever. But anyway, the partial Lashon Gemara is a large eye or a small eye. Zok Gemara, then heichani koyde tachas ayin, so you don't have a fair exchange of one eye for the other eye. And therefore it must mean compensation, it must mean money. Maybe you're going to go and tell me it depends. If in fact both people's eyes are exactly the same size, then you do eye for an eye. If you have a difference between the size of the eyes, then what happens is you got to go and pay money. Says Yimara, but that doesn't make sense. Everybody's treated the same and equally under the law. And if you're going to go and tell me, well, those people that have big eyes or small eyes, then you do it with money. And those people that have normal size eyes, then you're going to go and physically knock out the eye. You won't have a mishpat echad yilachem. I don't understand what the raya is. When the Torah says eye for an eye, we don't really mean the physical eye. What the Torah really means is, if you, chas v'sholem, destroy the other person's vision, then Bezin destroys your vision. And in that sense, it's an eye for an eye. In other words, vision for vision. And that being the case, Zok the Yomara, you still have no raya of mamoin. It says, I'll even bring you a raya l'chor, that's the poshut pshat. Because what happens if cotton shahara gets a godoil, the godoil shahara gets a cotton? What happens if a... Now, the Gemara doesn't mean a cotton like we normally define the word cotton, meaning that he's not bar mitzvah yet, because the Gemara continues, heichi katlinan lei, how can you go and kill him? You wouldn't kill a cotton. A child that's not bar mitzvah, you wouldn't kill him if he chas v'sholem kills a godoil. Rather, when the Gemara says, cotton says the top Rashi, we mean odom nanos. Odom nanos means a midget. What happens if you have a midget, a fellow who's only 3 feet tall, and he went and killed someone who was 6 feet tall, or the other way around, a 6-footer kills a 3-footer. Hey, how would you be able to go and kill the murderer? Okay, so that's Torah Amra, we have to add a few words. But how could you go and kill him? After all, that wouldn't be fear. It wouldn't be a nefesh tachas nefesh. This is a tall 6-footer, and this is only a 3-footer. Elamai, what are you going to go and tell me? That the Torah is talking about a case when they're both the same size. But when one is taller and one is shorter, then you should go and pay money. Zok Yimara, HaTorah Amra, but the Torah says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, Mishpat Hashav LeKulchem. Like the Gemara said on the Amid Beis, you cannot go and have two different alternative remedies. For some people that they're exactly the same, go physically go and kill him. Or in the case of the vision, physically go and take away his vision. and those people didn't have the same, then you go and pay money. That doesn't seem to make sense, because mishpat echad yelechem, everybody should be treated equally. Elos, what's pshatak mit the cut mit the gadol? El neshama shakul minei, neshama rachman and ishkul minei. The Torah wasn't looking at the physical structure of this individual, whether he's a 6 footer, a 5 footer, a 3 footer. What the Torah says is, if chas v'shalom one person murders another, since he went and took away the spark of life from that other person, we take away his life. So life for life. So here too, hachanami nahayir shakul minei, nahayir amir rachman and ishkul minei. Maybe when the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, it doesn't mean big eye, small eye, middle size eye. What the Torah means is if you destroy the other person's vision, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says the bezin takes away your vision. So you have no raya that it means mamoin. So this raya of mamoin lechoyda falls away. But let's try to bring another raya that we mean mamoin. Tani idach Reb Shimon Yichai oimer ayin tachas ayin. Says Reb Shimon Yichai mamoin, we mean money. How do you know? Maybe means real ayin. What happens if you have that the perpetrator, the one that caused the damage himself, was already blind, and now he caused blindness to someone else? Or he was already an amputee, and Nebuchadnezzar amputated the other guy's arm or leg. Or he was already lame, and he caused the other guy to be lame. How would you be mekayim in this case? Ayin tachas ayin. Go and take away his vision, or take away his eye. He's already blind. But I tell you to Amr, so you're going to go and tell me that in this particular case, you know what? Those people that are already blind, you go and pay, they have to go and pay money. After all, you can't blind them because he doesn't have vision to go and give money. It's got to be that everybody does the same. So therefore, it must be that everybody pays money, and nobody do you take out his eye because of this fellow that Nebuch already has no vision, and you cannot go and take away his vision. Is the chayra rai that it's mamoin and not physical? To Amri, what's the rai? Who my kusha? To mehech the efsha, efshech loy efsha, loy efsha. Upatrinalei. Maybe the halacha is that if the person has vision, a regular normal guy that blinded somebody else, you go and blind him. Someone who is normal and chas v'shalom causes someone else to lose an arm or a leg, you take off his arm or leg. Literally, like it says in the Torah, ayin tachas ayin, yad tachas yad, regel tachas regel. What happens if that person is already blind? Hey, hasish kanaitse, ain't done an efshe mishi'efshe. If you can't, you can't. But if you can, then you should go and take out his eye, or take off his hand, his leg, etc. Diloitei mahachi, I'll bring you a raya. What happens, treifa shahari gesa sholem? What happens, you have a person that the doctors already pronounced him a treifa, and therefore they said this person is not going to live more than another couple of months because he has nebuch, an internal whatever, that's going to cause him, he's terminal, he's going to die shortly. What happens if he went and killed a sholem, a normal person? Is my avdinale, what do you do to him? Explains Rashi, we do not kill the treifa. Why don't we kill the treifa? Because of a halacha that it's an edus she at yochel li hazima. This is the type of edus that you cannot go and say that they are edim zamen. Literally, you can say edim zamen. You were in Chicago. You weren't in Brooklyn that day. So how do you know about what happened? But there's halacha legabe edim zamen that it has to be kasher zamam lasis la'achiv, that we go and punish them with what they wanted to do to somebody else. And we cannot go and punish them that they should go and be killed, because we would not go and kill the murderer himself, because he's already an Adam Treifa. Anyway, it's...
Why not?
Okay, look at the Rashi. My Avdinale, fourth line from the top.
Gavra.
Ha Gavra Ketilu, this person, this Treifa, is already an Adam Kotel, he's already legally dead, so to speak, like you have today, people that are legally blind, even though they can see slightly. So this person is legally dead, even though he's walking around. Why? What happens if we find out that these Edom are Edom Zomim? Because they were in Chicago. Why? The Gavrik Tila Bo'ul Mikdal. They wanted to go and kill a person who's already legally dead. And therefore they, the Edom Zomim, are also Potter, because they are trying to kill a dead person, but they are not dead people themselves. So you cannot inflict upon them a punishment that they wanted to inflict on someone else, because they are alive, and the other person is legally dead. Meaning that's what we say. Be'elei Nesrafin and Mesechtes Sanhedrin.
So if doctors determine someone's a treifa, that person is no longer subject to Mises Bezdin?
That is correct. That's what our Gemara tells us. So what's pshat over there by the treif shehargis hasholim? Elahecha the efsha efsha. Where it's possible to go and punish it by killing him, by executing him, you do that. Hecha the efsha. When you have a person who's a gabra ketila, you can't. Upatrinale, and he goes potter from bezin. So the same thing over here. If you can go and take out the guy's eye, it's fine. If the guy's already blind and he doesn't have any eyes left, he has two patches like the Moshe Dayan, okay, he doesn't have, you can't do it. But the mice, you have no right that it's mamoi, maybe you're still supposed to inflict physical damage, eye for an eye, arm for an arm, leg for a leg, etc. So therefore, this pshat also falls away, and we have now a new braisa dveir bishvul tana. Amakar, it says in the pasuk, Kein yinosin boy. What's the lashon of pasuk we have here on the side? Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kasha yitein mum ba'adam, kein yinosin boy. Just like a person inflicted a wound on somebody else, kein yinosin boy. So tomorrow, what's the lashon of yinosin boy? She going to be kein yanish loy, kein yaseloy, yeyaseloy. What's the kein yinosin boy? Ve'nesina ela mamayin. Nesina by definition means to give. What do you give? You give money. In the very same pasuk that we just quoted, the pasuk says, "Ayn tachasayin, shein tachashein, kasha yitin mum ba'adam kein yinosin bay." Just like somebody inflicted a wound against somebody else, you inflict a wound on him, and the Gemara says yinosin bay. That doesn't mean inflicting wounds; it means he has to give. But kasha yitin mum ba'adam also means to give. What does it mean? He gave a mum. Gave a mum means that he took away money from the guy. When he gave him, it means that he harmed him, he damaged him. So Bazoi, just like that, yitin mum means literally giving a mum. It doesn't mean money. So here also, kenyan osim boy, it doesn't mean money. Bazoi frey, digmar. Now, the other yitin mum, adam hachinami mumin hu. Are you going to tell me that's mumoy? That doesn't make sense. You inflict a wound by giving money. Everyone, Amid the Rabbi Shmuel, Kro Yisei Radarshi. The Ikurai of the Rabbi Shmuel is not from the word Yinosim Boy, but by the fact that this is superfluous. In which respect? Mechtik Sif. Look in the previous Pasik. What does it say in the Pasik? These are Psukim back to back, and now this Pasik that Gemara is quoting is the one right before the Ken Yinosim Boy Pasik, which we just quoted. It says in the Pasik, the Ish Kiiten Mumba Amisai, Kasher Osa Ken Yeosa Loi. That's pasuk number one. It's like Ken Yosolai. And then you have the next pasuk says, Sheva tacha sheva ayin tacha sayin kashitin mumba adam ken yinosin bai. So here it says, Kashir asa ken yosolai. And here it says, Ken yinosin bai. So Frank Timara, Ken yinosin bai, lomali. So now it's not only a question of that this is duplicate and repetitive, but the question is, why did the Torah change the lashon from yiyasa to yinosin? Oh, it comes to tell you. You know what type of asiyah do you do? You do an asiyah through nesina. Shema mina mamoin. Okay. Zayagit, but we still haven't answered akasha. Abakasha yitain mumba adam lomali. There you still have the lashon of yitain. And there yitain doesn't mean mamoin. So right, so we still have this problem in the lashon of pasik. Everything more ayid boil mechtiv kenyan asin boy. Kasunami kasha yitain mumba adam. Period. In other words, avada, if it was written in a vacuum, the Torah wouldn't use the expression kasha yitain mumba adam, because you're not noisin mumba adam, you're makkah, you do a chabola, you do a chabura, you do a hakoa, you don't do a nesina. However, since the Torah used the expression ken yinosin boy, so for symmetry and style, the Kodesh Baruch Hu put in also kasha yitain mumba adam, alav davka, nishke fedach. Anyway, so the more attack of blibes, that the nesina attack means mamain, so we do have a shtikl raya that ayin tachas ayin doesn't mean literally eye for an eye, but it really means money. I have another raya. Omikro nocha pasik yod biyod. This is the pasik yod biyod. Nocha pasik also in the same. This actually is in Dvarim. Leisachis einecha nefesh benefesh ayin biayin shein b'shein yod biyod regel b'rogel. Now what's this lashon yod biyod? Tavanitin miyad liyad. My new moment, this yad biyad means that you could go and do an arm for an arm, yad biyad, by handing over from one arm to the other arm, or one hand to the other hand. Praytimara, on the surface it sounds fine, but let's go on to the next word. After Yod B'Yod, it says Regel B'Rogel. We're talking about that he's going to extend money from one foot to the other. He's going to kick a few dollars the other guy's way. You know, that doesn't make sense. Yod B'Yod, of course, makes sense. Okay, Yod B'Yod, he hands over money. What are you going to do with Regel B'Rogel? Amri. They are learning from an extra pasuk superfluous. We already have asisam lekashezom lasis liochet. He's supposed to go and do to him like he wanted to do to his fellow man. It's a bazoi isol gadaitech mamish yad biyad lomeli. If you're going to learn kashezom lasis liochet, literally eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, arm for an arm, etc., etc. So why does the Torah have to now be explicit and say yad biyad? It already says. And therefore, since it says it's extra, yad biyad, shema mina, it's mamain. I was still back to the original question. Regel b'regel amali. I just said yad biyad, because it's not regel b'regel. In other words, nochamo, we didn't really need regel b'regel, but in terms of style, poetic, and Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote yad biyad and regel b'regel. But the ma'aseh, the ikar of art over here is the yad biyad, and it means mamain. Ah, so I have another raya. That taki, when it says ayin, ayin tachas ayin, etc., we mean money, we don't mean literally. Abai Omar, ask you the Tanur Becheski, I have another ayin. The Tanur Becheski, it says in the Pasuk, ayin tachas ayin, nefesh tachas nofesh. Darshan yetz Tanur Becheski, for nefesh vi ayin tachas ayin. An eye for an eye, and nefesh for nefesh. Nefesh for nefesh means chas hashom. In case of a murder, you chas hashom, you kill the other person. However, you don't do a combination of nefesh v'ayin tachasayin. What does he want to mean with that? If you're going to tackle, learn an eye for an eye. Zim de mishkachas lo ayin v'nefesh tachasayin. Sometimes you could have an ayin v'nefesh. How? To bahari de iberle nafka l'nishmase. If you're going to go and tell the perpetrator, okay, we're going to knock out your eye because you knocked out the other guy's eye, whilst you're knocking him out and you have him on the table for surgery, in the hospital, chas v'shalom, the person may die. As we know, unfortunately, not all operations are successful. And therefore, it may not have to be dafka surgery. Because of the fright and the knock out of the eye, you might hit him so hard, and nebuch, the person dies. It's like, bazoi, you're going to now inflict on him not just an ayin tachasayin, but an ayin v'nevesh tachasayin. And therefore, zechaklor raya, we mean mamoin. We don't mean literally eye for an eye, because if we mean literally eye for eye, you can have such an accident of an eye in the nefesh, tachas eye. Right, tomorrow, my question, what's the raya? Dilma meim amdinan lei. Dilma meimid amdinan lei. What we do is we try to go and assess the situation as best as we can. And we ask the doctors and the surgeons and the professors and the scientists, and they all sign a declaration. Yeah, we think that you can go and take out the other guy's eye and he will live and he's not going to die. The E of the Amdina and the Matzah Mekabel, and if in fact the scientists, they all sign a piece of paper, yeah, he can accept the trauma of losing an eye and he will not go into cardiac arrest and die 2 minutes later. The Avdinan lay, and we taka do the surgery, we do the punching out of the other guy's eye. The Nafik Ruche in Rachman al-Islan, all the scientists and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again, and Nebuch, the guy died. So Timur, Imai is Lavis? No, he died. Miloy Tanan, Gabi Malkus, we have the exact same thing parallel to Gabi Malkus. As we know, anybody that's supposed to get Malkus, although the Torah talks about 39 Malkus, however, the Bezin first goes and asks the doctors to assess this person's physical capabilities. Some people cannot go and stomach 39 lashes, Chas v'Shalom, they'll die. So therefore, you go and do it in threes. Can he take 3 lashes, 6 lashes, 9 lashes, etc.? What happens if they decided, yeah, he can go and do 15 lashes? And they give him daka 15, and Nebuch, the person dies. In other words, the doctor has made a mistake. But so the executioner, the one that gave him the lashes, he's not on the hook, he's off the hook. And after all, he did what the doctor said, and he did what the rules and regulations were. I'm sorry?
Shliach Bezdin.
So therefore, the same thing over here. If the Shliach Bezdin were to go and take out the other guy's eye, and Nebuch, he dies. Okay, listen, that's what the doctor said, that he can live. It's not his fault. And therefore, Zoktok the Gemara, L'choira, he wanted to go being a rai. There has to be dafka compensation, because you're going to knock out the other guy's eye. You could have a situation of nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin. Zimon nishka kasha. It worse comes to worse. Nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin. That's what happened. He is the shlich bezin. He follows the orders of the doctors, so that's what they paskin. That's what they paskin. And this is nishka shtarka rai. So let's go and bring another rai. Rav Zvid Mishmid Rabba Omakrat said in the Pasik. Petza tachas potza. Petza tachas potza is in the middle of a posik. The beginning of the posik is kviya tachas kviya. That's a burn for a burn. Petza tachas potza, a wound for a wound. And chabura tachas chabura, another type of wound for a wound. What is this petza tachas potza? Leitin tzarbe mokum nesik. To go and tell you that in addition to paying for the damage that was caused, the second of the five, if you know we have five altogether, nezik, tzar, ripa, shevas, and boishes. Number two, tzar, is pain. That you have to pay compensation. So Gemara L'chor brings an eisen araya. If you're going to go and tell me ayin tachas ayin means literally an eye for an eye, whatever pain the first person endured by losing his eye, the second person will endure by losing his eye. So I don't have to go and make a special separate payment of an extra $100,000, $10,000 for the pain which was inflicted. He's going to get the same pain. So, eye for an eye, pain for pain. It's the fact that you have to pay tzar separately is the charai that you have to pay money. Frankly, more my kusha, what's the right? Doma ikke inish and mifnik, isli tzar tzvei. The ikke inish toloi mifanik lei is less lei tzar. In other words, the word mifnik or mifinik is a familiar term. A mifinik means a person who's very delicate, very fragile, very finicky. My father's Chayav Rucha said that the finik and finicky seem to have the same etymology. They seem to come from the same shoresh. A person who's finicky is a mefinik. Anyway, but the point is that maybe the murder, not the murder victim, but the blinding victim, maybe he's not such a finicky person. It's true he had pain, okay, you know. And then the other person who is the one that inflicted this terrible wound, maybe he is a mefinik, and you're going to go and just look at him with a needle, he's going to start screaming. As you know, when you go to a doctor with little children, and you want to give them a vaccine, or you want to give them a needle, some of the kids are going to start screaming and crying, and it'll run in the other direction. The other kids will be a little bit more stoic. So the point is, you cannot compare, you cannot bring a raya that you pay mamon. It could be that the gabi, the inyan of tsar, the gabi, the inyan of the ayin tachas ayin, the attack inflict literally an eye for an eye. Eye that you have to pay tsar is because some people have greater tsar, some people have smaller tsar. And therefore, the mai nafkimina lemeis filei heich the baini baini. We're going to try to get the experts to go and assess the difference in pain. The person who received the pain of losing his eye, he may have been one of those screamers, and for the next 3 weeks, every time he came into shul, he was screaming, "Oi, my eye, my eye, my eye," and he still feels the pain. And the other guy that we inflicted the removal of his eye, he doesn't feel it so terribly. And so therefore, he has to go and perhaps pay more for this terrible damaging of the eye, inflicting of the pain. He would have to go and give them the excess or the difference between one and the other. Not exactly sure how the Bezdin would appraise this difference or excess. But you still don't have a rai that it's mamon. Maybe Ataka do a real physical ayin tachas ayin. I wasn't mit the tzar. Depending on the amount of tzar, you'll either have to pay more or not have to pay more. Is nishkarai. Rapabish made a Rabbam, I have another eye on my crop. For Rapa Yerape, Lita Nafu, Bemokim Nezik. One of the five Tashlumin is to go and pay the doctor's bills. So tomorrow, if you're going to go and tell me that we actually inflict eye for an eye, what do you have to pay the doctor's bills? Just like I inflicted on the other guy the damage of the eye, and he has to go and pay $1,000 to the doctor. Now, when he would take away his eye, he'll also have to pay $1,000 to the doctor. So you shouldn't have to go and pay a separate medical bill. We inflicted ayin tachas ayin mamish. Pray tomorrow, my kush, I don't understand the kasha. Til me'ika de solik bisrei haya. Vektali solik bisrei haya. The word haya is like from the word chius, chayim, hey and chesar mischalif. And what the Gemara is saying is, sometimes some people heal more quickly, and some people heal more slowly. And therefore, maybe one person, one person gets a quick refuah. He only has to be in the hospital for 2 days. The other person has other medical problems, conditions, or whatever it happens to be. Or just in general, he doesn't heal that quickly. He has to be in the hospital for a week. Maybe we talk inflict eye for an eye, and an arm for an arm, and a leg for a leg. Ah, you ask me if that's the case, why does he have to pay the medical bills? Because the victim, he had a longer process of recuperation and of healing, and therefore you have to pay more than the perpetrator who only had a very short process of healing. So right, you have no raya that it's momoin, it could be taka, literally eye for an eye. Ravashi Yomer Asya Tachas Tachas Mishor. I bring a raya from Tachas Tachas. Ksiv Ocha Ayin Tachas Ayin. Uksiv Hosom, it says the Gabe a Shor Hamazik. Shalom Yishalom Shor Tachas Ashor. If one Shor damages the other Shor, you go and give him the Shor. That's the case of Tam that you pay me. Gufay. Now, the Gabe the Gemasim of the Shor, Malahal Mon Mafkan moment. Just like over there, you assess the value. Because, like we said in the Gemara earlier on in the Mesechta, what happens if the shore that was damaged was only worth $200. Are you going to go and give him from the big shore, which is $500? Or even if you give him half, it'll be $250. Are you going to give him a profit? No. So what are you going to do? You're just going to go and assess the damage, and you're taking me gufay. So it's al tzvaita mom and mom, we're talking about money. So just like the Rabbi Shor, Shor tachas shor is money. Here too, when it's ayin tachas ayin means money. If you're learning this Gzeir Shova, Tachas Tachas, learn from Adam Dechsev. When it's at the Nefesh Tachas, Nefesh. That means Chas Shom, the case of a murder, that we execute the murderer. And therefore it's physical. Malal Mamish Afkan Mamish. Says, Amri, Dan and Nizak, and Nizak, and Dan and Nizak, and May Misa. He was trying to bring a raya for compensation for damage. And you'll bring me a tachas from the case of murder. No, we learn nizakim and nizakim, not nizakim and misa. Feitimar adraba, tan adam yadwe, and tan adam behaima. Aren't we much better off learning from the case of one person who did an injury from another person who did a fatal injury, that he killed someone, rather learning the din of Adam from behaima? Adam and behaima have totally different scales and different measures of punishment and of payment. So aren't we better learning Adam from Adam? And therefore says Yimar Elam Arvashi, we take a learning from Tachas, but a different Tachas. What's the Tachas? The case of Chas V'Shalom, a person who is Ma'anes, a Nara Psula. It says in the Pasuk he has to go and pay 50 shekel, and he has to take it for a wife. V'Tachas Asher Ina. What did it say in the Pasuk? V'Nosan Isha Shoichev Ima Lavi Anara Chamishim Kosef. V'Lo Yisir Li Isha Tachas Asher Ina. Oh, I have now a double benefit. What's the double benefit? Yalef le Odom Yodom. Our case of the Odom Amazik that caused Ayin Tachas Ayin. And it says in the Pasuk, Tachas, that you have to pay Ayin Tachas Ayin. And that's talking about an Odom. And it's talking about a Hezik. So we're learning also Metachas Asherina, which is also Yalef le Odom Yodom, a person that was Ma'anes, a woman. That's a person. And Nezikin. Menzikim, we're talking about a physical blow, an injury, as opposed to a deathly, fatal blow. So therefore, this is a chayda, this is a guterai, tachas, tachas, to tell you it's taka momoin, and not physical. A guterai. Tanya blazer oimer, ayin tachas, ayin mamish. Now it sounds on the surface that it means taka eye for an eye. We had all of these rises that said mum and mum and mum. Some of the rayas we said are not such strong rayas. Some of the rayas we said are great rayas. But all of them held mum. Nobody held that we mean physical eye for an eye. Does Reb Blazer to argue with that? No. When he says ayin tachas ayin mamish means that we don't go to the marketplace to see how slaves are sold, if they sold for more, sold for less, like we had in the Mishnah yesterday. Remember, the Mishnah said yesterday, how do we measure the damages of an ayin, for instance? We go to the shuk, we go to the slave market, and we find out how much was this eved previously worth, and how much is he worth now that Nebuchadnezzar is blinded. So therefore he said, no. Ayin tachas ayin mamish, we're not shaman oisa ke'eved. So omli abai ala kaman. So how are you going to be shaman? Ki ben chayrin. Ben chayrin mi islay domi. Can you talk about a free man that there is a price or a value on his person, on his life? because he has an eye, he doesn't have an eye. There is no way of measuring damages by a free man other than going to the slave market, because there is no market for free people. There's only a market for slaves. Elam Ravashi, Ravashi said, no. I'll tell you what Rablazer meant. What Rablazer meant by Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, Mamish means we do not assess the damage based on the Nizik. We do it based on the Mazik. We've had this concept similarly, Agabi, the din of Koifer. What do we mean? What does the Gemara mean over here? If you talk about the Nizik might be, for all we know, a schlepper, a nobody. You go into Bezdin, the Bezdin says, let's go and take him to the slave market. The slave market, they look at the guy and they said, with an eye, without an eye, not much of a difference, maybe $50 difference. I see him with two eyes, he's a battle and he doesn't know what he's doing. He has two left hands and two left feet and two left eyes and two left noses. You're going to go and take him into a factory, he's just going to ruin the equipment, he's going to ruin the factory, he's no good. The difference between with an eye, without an eye, the difference may be $50. The Mazik, on the other hand, who happens to be a brilliant scientist, if he cannot no longer look in the microscope, look at the computer findings, he loses half of his value. And if until now he's worth $1 million, and now he's worth $500,000, or whatever it is. So the Gemara says, when he says, ayin tachas ayin mamish, mamish means, we take a look at the ayin of the mazik, and we pay the dmei teshlumen of his ayin, tachas ayin, not looking solely at the victim's ayin and trying to determine with an eye, without an eye, but since we're giving compensation and we're also trying to punish the perpetrator, so we go and say ayin, the mazik's eye for the nizik's eye, and we measure the damages of the eye based on the mazik and not based on the nizik. So that's what Rablazer meant with this mamish, but he didn't mean literally, he meant vaita with mamish. Okay, the Gemara tells us a story now. Hu chamra de koteya yoda dienuka. A chamra is a chamor, is a donkey, who went and cut off and amputated Nebuch the hand of a baby. Perhaps he bit it off, chewed it off, whatever. He amputated Nebuch a baby's hand. Also comes that puppy came in front of her papa by Shmuel. Amlo zilu shoymele abo advarim. Make sure you go and pay the abo advarim. What's the abo advarim? The Nezik Tzari Boshabes.
Boshes
is not by an animal.
The animal doesn't.
One second. If you're assessing damages for, why don't you go and say five? Amlei Selabami Nezik. It meant in addition to the Nezik. Nezik plus the additional four. Labami Nezik come in. So Amlei Abayis. Abayis said, V'chamarhu. What are you talking about? This whole din of Dalet Dvarim, Hey Dvarim. That's talking about an Adam, not talking about a Bahaima. Now, Rapapa Bar Shmuel was also Tamid Chacham. He was no fool. He also knew this halacha that it's only by an Adam and not by Bahaima. So how come he made this mistake? Zhong Mefarshim, that Rapapa Bar Shmuel understood that this mass of Chamra, that we're not talking about a Chamor, but rather we're talking about the Chamor driver, the person who drives the chamor. That's the way he understood the shaila. And therefore he said, no, if you're talking about a person, then you have to pay the heidvarim. You have to pay the nezik plus the other four. But now that he heard that it's not a literal chamor, not the driver of the chamor, but the chamor itself, what you have to do is go and assess the value of the hezik. V'ha ke'av freit yimara, v'ha ke'avda, or not freit, the only way of assessing the damage would be to go and take this baby to the slave market and find out what the story is in terms of the difference in price before or after, with or without a hand. So then Rav Papa Bashmo said, Yo, that's what I mean. Go and take it to the slave market and figure out this 2-year-old, 1-year-old, whatever it is, how much is he worth with the hand and how much is he worth without a hand? Amalu Abu Yanuka said, the father of the Tzaddik said, Lebeinu Dezila Bei Milza, that's for me a tremendous bizoid, a tremendous zilzil, to go and take my baby and take it to a slave market as if it was a slave. No, please do me a favor, leave me out of this. Amaleva Kamachaivis Le Yanuka, what you're doing is you're penalizing your own son, because this son is going to grow up in Mirat Hashem, he's going to be Nebuch an amputee, he won't have an arm, and he's going to be angry at you, because you didn't allow him to be assessed the damages like on the slave market, and he lost this trust fund that might have been would have sent him to college or something like that. He says, Baruch Hashem, I have enough money. I'll already take care of the damages. For me, it's worse having this bizoyan, this busha, of having him assessed on the, appraised on the slave market. I rather forfeit whatever damages, and I'll take care of him in the Mikan al Haba. I'll have enough money to pay. Says him another story. Hahu Torah. Torah is talking about a shor. To olas yad liyinuka. The word olas, says Rashi, means Nebuchi chewed up this, the arm of the sinning. Similar to the previous case, there was a chamor and here's a shor. Also, the kamed rava omalahu zilu shaymu ka'avda. Go and assess him like an abbot, like we said before. We got a problem. Rav is living in Bavel, and as we'll see on the Gemara in the Amud Beis, in Bavel they had, the Bate Dinim had very limited jurisdiction. And didn't you, Rav, say that anything that requires Shuma Ke'evit, assessing and appraising like an Evit, in Gervinoisim Bavel and Bavel, we don't get near that type of thing? Stay away. The reason, says Rashi, is since it's a Dovah She'ena Kotzavu, since it's not a fixed set amount, in Goyven Oysim Babel. Anything which is fixed and set, we know exactly what it is. 100, 200, 500, yeah, what's your problem?
In Babel, they can't done knossos, and no knossos are fixed. Now we're saying they can't done things that aren't fixed?
We're going to see. Let's just wait a moment. The Gemara is going to go into all of that. But in the meantime, the Gemara says, didn't you, Rabbi, say, call Nishim Evet, anything that requires a Shuma and a appraisal, because it's not a set amount, in Goyven Oysim Babel, and over here, by this child, you're going to have to do an appraisal. Amlahu loitzricha the itavas. It's talking about a case where he already was typhus. What does he want to mean? Avad, normally we would not go and paskin for a person if it requires a shuma, because if it requires a shuma, the bezel will not say, okay, we went to the slave market and the amount of damage is $500. Go and pay the $500. No, we wouldn't do that. However, what the bezel can do is say, do an appraisal. And if the victim afterwards is going to be toy face, if he's going to go and grab money, then he can hold on to the money. So lechatchilah for the bezin to go and say, I'm going to do an appraisal, and I'm going to reward you damages of the appraisal, the $500 or whatever it is, on the slave market. The bezin won't do that. But what the bezin can do is do an appraisal, and then after that, if the victim is able to go and grab funds in the amount of that appraisal, we won't take it away from him. Now, what's the svara of Rava that Rava is now distinguishing between kolanishim ke'eved, yes or no? Rava l'tam di yomer Rava nizki shor b'shar nizki shor ba'adam goyven oisay b'bavel nizki adam b'adam nizki adam b'shar en goyven oisay b'bavel. Shor b'shar, wounds that were inflicted one shor against the other shor, that we will collect in bavel. Nizki shor ba'adam. Now, on the surface, shor ba'adam sounds like a damage that a shor inflicted on a person. However, if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says it's the other way around. Niske shor that were caused by a person. Look at the Rashi, three lines before the end. Niske shor ba'adam nizaket shebolish shor al yedei adam. And therefore, what Rav is saying is, if the victim of the damage was a shor, regardless of whether it was a shor against a shor, or it was an adam that damaged the shor, to go and assess damages of Gabi Ashar, that we have competence and we are qualified out in Bava, we have jurisdiction, we're going to go and pass it. Niski Adam Adam, however, if there was a nezik that one person inflicted against another person, or Niski Adam Ashar, or Ashar inflicted against a person, so now we're talking about damages inflicted on a person, that would require an appraisal on the slave market, that we're not going to be going from Bava. Okay. I hear what Rav is saying, but I still don't understand why. Frank Dimar Maishna Nizki Adam Adam Nizki Adam Bishar Deloy, that we're not going to go and assess. In other words, the second group of cases where it was a person who was damaged, either through another person or through an Adam. The reason why we're not going to go and paskin and bubble, because Elihim Beinan Veleka. Because the psukim say, Ad olehim, yovei dvar shneim, ashe yashion elehim, yishalim. The pasuk is talking about that. That's why the Gemara uses this strong expression. We don't mean ovehe elekim, the rabbeinu shalom, but we mean the term elehim, which is referring to the best. So therefore, when it comes to adam be adam and iski adam bishar, teloi, why won't we assess it in bavel? Because elehim be inan, because we need a competent bezdin of smuchin v'leka, and in Bava we don't have such a competent bezdin of smuchin. If that's the case, shabba adam nami elihim v'inan. There we also, the Torah requires elihim. It doesn't just talk about only by adam v'adam, but even by shabba shabba, we also need a competent bezdin. Competent in the sense that it has to be a bezdin of mumchin usmuchin. And we know from Maseches Sanhedrin that there was Ein Smicha Bebabel. Is Valeka, Zay Bazoi, why Viter is the difference between Shor Bishar, that we will assess damages and punish, but we don't assess damages by Adam Ba'adam. Alamayishna Shor Bishar, Bishar Ba'adam, you know why? Kedishlichu Sayuka of Dinan. We in Bavel, in fact, do not have our own independent authority, but we are considered to be like the agents of the real Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. So we're considered to be like their agents, like their shluchim, just like by Hoidois Valvois. Meaning, what happens if you have a dispute between two people, a Gabi Halva or a Hoidois? Even today, if a person has a dispute, whether he owes money or not, based on business, based on loans, etc., you can go to a Bezdin. See here too, in Bavel, even though they were not smuchin, but they were competent to go and do Hoidois Valvois, and same thing as the Gabi Shor Bishar. However, Odom be Odom, for Odom Bishar, why don't we say the same thing too? That Odom be Odom Shar Nami, let's go see Shtu Chasayukov Dina, Midava Hoidois Valvois. Again, I still don't understand why Rav is making the distinction between Shor Bishar, that we are Dan in Bavel, Kushli Chusayikov Dinan. Why don't we go and do the same thing, Legabe, Odom be Odom? Everything more Amriki of Dinan, Shli Chusayib, immediately the Kimlan be Gavei. That's only something that we know the amounts, we have set amounts, we understand, we know. Meaning, like Kimlan be Gavei, Loy of Dinan, Shli Chusayib, but something that we don't know, we cannot do there, Shli Chus. Sigmar asks again, Ami Shor Bishar. We the Bezin, how would we know what the price of a shor is and what the difference in the price is if the shor now has a damage to it, that it's missing a leg, it's missing a foreleg, a hind leg, it's missing an eye? How would we the Bezin know? What we'd have to do is we'd have to go and ask the businessmen that are cattle handlers. We'd show them this shor, and we'd ask him, how much is it worth now and before and later? And they'd be able to say, oh, such a big steer, worth $500. Oh, it's missing a hind leg, it's worth $400, $300, etc. So, it's the exact same parallel process. We, Bezin, don't have independent knowledge. We'll ask the experts. We'll go to the slave market. So I still don't know the difference between one and the other. The oy, the nochakasha. You just said now that the difference is between midit de kimlan begavei, midit loy kimlan begavei, something which is set that we know a fixed amount, and something we don't know, is tashlum keful tashlum bov v'chamisha. This is what Barry was talking about in the Amud Aleph, which is a knas. The kitzi, that we know what keful is, we know what above v'chamisha is. Keful is double, above v'chamisha means four or five times. That's, as long as we know the amount of the hezek is, if the hezek is 100, 2 times 100, or the geneva, it's 2 times 100, it's 200. If he did a tzvicha mechira, it's 400, 500. So, never shlichusai, why don't we go and do the shlichus in that case? Every more amriki ka avdina shlichusai, the moina, the knosloi avdina shlichusai, that we have the authority to act as the agents for the Eretz Yisrael Batei Dinim, that's the gabe compensatory damages. A knas which is punitive, that we don't have authority. Pray more odom ba'odom, the moinu, navish shlichusai. If that's the case, Odom ba'odom, if chas v'shalom, one person patched another person and caused him nezik tzar, ripa, shevus, and boishas, that's all mamadis, is compensatory damage. So, I bazoi, let's do their shlichus. Everyone, kiko, dinan shlichusai, b'milza, de shchicha. Odom ba'odom, le shchicha, le dinan shlichusai. Shor b'shor, every day of the week. One person's shor goes and gores the other person's shor, or causes damage. I don't know if every day, but it happens on a frequent basis. That one person should go and damage chas shom another person, this is loy shchich. I don't know if this would still apply today, but at least in the times of Chazal, this was a rare happening, that chas shom one person should go and hit another person. Chulila b'chas. Therefore, this happened so rarely, we didn't have the authority to go and be the shliach on behalf of the Eretz Yisrael Batei Dinim. Unfortunately, boishu begam is a frequent thing. We should have to do the shlichus. Now, it's not clear about this boishu begam. Normally, boishu begam, we're talking about a case of a man that's ma'anis, a psula. Hopefully that was not shchiach in the times of Chazal, and therefore, in fact, you'll notice the Bach takes out the word pegam, just talks about boishes. And therefore, we're not talking about the famous boishes of pegam of chas v'shalom, a man being ma'anis, a woman. We're just talking about boishes generally. One of the five, the nezik, tzari, b'sheves, and boishes. Oh, boishes is shchiach. Unfortunately, people are embarrassing other people all the time. In fact, people embarrass themselves all the time by talking narishkeit and talking nonsense, especially if you're a presidential candidate. You can go and say anything you want, and you can embarrass yourself 100 times a day and say offensive remarks about other people. Sorry, this is a frequent event that people are constantly offending other people one way or the other, and therefore, boishes, navichli chosayu, let's go and assess boishes. So to Ami Hochanam, you're 100% right. Rapapa, Agvi Abba Meizuzila Boishes. Rapapa here in Chutz Laretz, he used to talk in Bavel, assess 400 zuz for Boishes. So you see in Echanami something which is Shchiach, they talk assess the damages. So you more about less than Rapapa. Lamaisa, Sinish is a Rapapa. We don't follow Rapapa. The Sholach Le Rav Chizda, Le Rav Nachman. The Sholach Le. Rav Chizda said to Rav Nachman, this is what I intend doing, assessing, let's say, the 400 Zuz Laboishes, like Rav Papa. V'sholach lei, and Rav Nachman sent back, Chizda, Knosa Kamagvis B'Bavel. You want to assess Knosas in Bavel? No, we don't do something like that. We don't assess Knosas, and therefore, Eliki of the so bottom line is, I'm back to square one. When are we assessing? When are we not assessing? What's the difference between Shor B'Shor? What's the difference between Shor B'Adam? I don't know what's going on. Zutimar Ella Ki of Dinan Shlichusayim and Milta the Shchicha the Isbech Sarnkis. There has to be two ingredients, two criteria. Number one, it's got to be a Dovah Shchiach, that this is a thing that happens frequently. The reason why it's so important that it happens frequently is presumably said that the Bezin should be experienced in these types of halachas. They do it all the time. Isbech Sarnkis, and you're talking about a situation where the person is never out of pocket. Something, even though it happens frequently, but you're not out of pocket. Or nami milted loishchicha, something which happens infrequently. This bechsorn kiss, even though there is out of pocket. Sitting more explains. Hilk. Adam biyadam afgav is bechsorn kiss. If somebody damages somebody else, somebody nebuch goes and gives the other person a zetz, and the other guy loses an eye, an arm, a leg, or whatever. Any type of Adam, Avgav the Isbech Sarnkis, this person is certainly worth less on the slave market. He has incurred a major physical loss. Since this is something which is very rare, we in Bezdin, in Chutz Laretz, we are not authorized to act as the agent on behalf of the Eretz Yisrael Dayanim. Boishes, Avgav the Shchicha. Notice over here we don't say Boishes of Begam, we just say Boishes. Avgav the Shchicha, even though it's frequent that people offend others and cause embarrassment to others, they humiliate others. Kim the Lesbech, Sorin Kis, since there is no out of pocket expense. The person turns red, green, blue, and orange. Yes, he's upset, he's been humiliated, Barab. True. But there's no chesaron kiss. We're not authorized to do their shlichos.
And in Eretz Yisrael, if someone was advised, someone you could take him to Bezdin for
absolutely
compensation.
Sure. That's the whole concept of boishes. Boishes is not just one out of five every time that there's nezek.
It's an independently action.
Independent action. Exactly right. Just like, for instance, we said in our Mishnah Tzar. You could have him without nezek.
Right.
How could you have it? A person inflicts on the other person's fingernail. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened to the person. He can still do everything that he did until now, but it's very painful because he burned his fingernail. Same thing applies to all the others. So the more vayit v'shar b'shar goyvim b'bavel. But you just concluded now that Rava holds shar b'adam or adam b'adam. In other words, anything having to do with assessing damage to a person, we said it's lo shchiach, and we're not going to go and assess that in bavel. But shar b'shar, we are goyvim b'bavel. I've omer Rava shar shehizik. Ain goyven oisim b'bavel, a shor that's mazik something, someone else. We're not goyven b'bavel. So, Frank Dimar, what did Rava mean? Shor shehizik ain goyven. The azik man, ilev the azik adam. You're telling me the shor that was mazik a person. My ear is shor the azik adam afilo adam the azik adam nami ain goyven oisim b'bavel. Why would Rava say that shor shehizik adam ain goyven oisim b'bavel? Anything having to do with a hezik to an adam. Ain goyven oisim b'bavel. Why, says Rashi? Because both shor against an adam, and an adam against the adam, that a person has received an inflicted wound, either from a person or from a shor, is a dovah shaloi shchiach. Dovah shaloi shchiach, we're not done in bottom. So that's not what Rava meant, shor shehizikotim. Elipshiti means azik shor. That shor, the azik shor, zoktach Rava, uktani in govinoisim babavel. But we just said a moment ago, vishor vishor, goivim babavel. So are you shor about what you're saying? Here in one memra, Rava is saying shor vishor, goivim. Here we're saying shor vishor, ain goivim. Make up your mind. Everyone, ami. It depends whether you're talking about a tam or a muad. What's the difference? Explains Rashi. Rashi is about two lines higher than our Gemara, three lines higher. The tam ain't goyvin. The kaimulan palganizke kenosa. He had a machloikas early on our mesechta. Is a palganizke kenosa or a minor? What's an afkimina agabe a moide beknas potter or not? So in bazoi zoktu the Gemara. If you're talking about that, the damage was caused by a tam. Ain't goyvin I said bubble, because that's already a knas. No knosis in bubble. Mashenkin, if you're talking about a mu'ud is nezik shalem, then you are goyvin in bubble. Freyti morav, omer rova, ain't mu'ud bubble. Rova said you cannot go and create a mu'ud in bubble. What does he mean you can't create a mu'ud? As we know, mu'ud means that it happened three times. If you cannot go and take a tam into bezin because ain't done in knosis, then how did this tam ever get upgraded to become a mu'ud? So you look at the next Rashi. Ain't move above it. How did he ever? No animal is ever born a mu'ud. He's born a tam. So how did he become a mu'ud? It's talking about that this animal was already gepaskin to mu'ud in Eretz Yisrael. And this animal knew what's going to be its fate. And what did he do? And machta plate. What did he run to? He ran to Bavel. He figured Bavel is a safe haven because in Bavel.
It's full swamps too. I ran to the Agam always.
Yeah. That's the Agam. But here went to the Babylonian Agam. And now the Babylonian Agam has to go and sit. A bezin has to decide. This mu'ud now caused damage. Oh, that's the case of mu'ud goivin in Bavel. It must be a very rare event that an animal was declared a nagchan amud in Eretz Yisrael and then ran to Bavel, and now Bavel is deciding about this shor amud. Isn't that a mitzvah l'shchicha? Everyone also rabbanon the hasim v'yadu hacha. Talking about that, not only the shor made a plate here to Bavel, but the rabbanon also came here to Bavel, and they of course were the yadim from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they paskened over here that the animal is a mu'ud. Come on, that's perhaps even a greater dovish l'shchich. That not only the shor, but also the dayanim also ran it. Come on, v'adam is mitzvah l'shchicha lekaver rabbanon. Eloki ka'omer rava b'shem v'regel. D'mo'ad mitchilasen inu. Ah, that's a much easier text. If you're talking about transforming a keren from a tam to a mu'ud, that would be impossible. Why? Because we're not done a tam in Bavel, because palganiski kenosa, we're not done kenosis. And for the animal to graduate and be upgraded from a tam to a mu'ud, you'd have to have three times. So therefore, that's not what Rav is talking about. Anything having to do with keren, by definition, ain't going to bother. What are we talking about? We're talking about a shein or a regel, which is more than mitchilasen. If they cause damage to another shor, oh, so Rashi is already bothered by shein v'regel by another shor. I know a shein, for instance, that it eats up fruit, but it doesn't eat up the other shor. So you're going to tell me he took a bite into the other shor? That wouldn't be shein. That would be keren. That's chmishuna. Zokta Rashi is talking about nischachich b'chaveir lahana osoy ve'zikoy. What happens if, for instance, the animal had a scratch on its back, an itch, and it wanted to go and scratch its back against the wall? The problem was that all the walls in town he had already scratched against, and they all had fallen already. So no walls left. So therefore he said, but I have a chaver, the other shor. So he goes to the other shor. Can you do me a favor, please? Can you go and scratch my back? I'm not interested. You're not interested. So he goes and scratches it himself, one against the other shor. The other shor collapses on the street and gets hurt or gets damaged or whatever. So that was lahana osay. Not that he was wanting to go and cause any damage to the other shor. Push it. He couldn't get rid of that itch on its back. So that's the case of shein. What's the case of regel? Says Rashi that he was derech iluchay shadach v'valekivin. there was an animal that was lying there in the shor, in the Rishus HaNizik, and you have this shor that was walking nicely. He didn't even notice the other shor that was lying there crouching on the ground, and he stepped on the other shor. It wasn't intentional, he was just walking normally, just walking derech iluchai, which is the halacha of a regel. And therefore, since he wasn't mechaven to cause problems, again, this would be shen beregel. This Rava was prepared to be dan in Bavel, but not a case of Karen of either Tam or a case of wood. So now we've finished with it. Nezek, we go on to Tzar, and it says in the Mishnah, Kvoi b'shpud oy b'masmer, if you cause pain with a shpud with a hot spit, or masmer with a nail onto the other guy's fingernail, you have to go and pay. So tomorrow, Tzar shlom mokin nezek, mishtalim, man tana, who's the one that holds that Tzar even shloi b'mokin nezek? So tomorrow, this is Omarova ben Azahi. Sanya, we have a posik in the Torah. Now the posik is very, very clear. Kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas potza, chabura tachas chabura. The petza tachas potza we're not going to focus on, because petza tachas potza, we already said earlier in the blot, that comes to tell you, litein tsar b'mokim nezik. That not only do you have to go and pay every time for hezik, but you have to go and pay for tsar. So the petza tachas potza is taken care of. We want to know now about this kviya tachas kviya, which means a heat burn, or chabura tachas chabura, which is a normal wound, a normal makah. So now we have a machloikis here in the Braisa between Rebbe and Ben Azai. Rebbe oyma kviya nemra tchila, Ben Azai oyma chabura nemra tchila. Now clearly, there's no machloikis about the Seder Apostik. Everybody knows that the Apostik starts off kviya tachas kviya and ends off chabura tachas chabura. So when Ben Azai says chabura nemra tchila, that's not what he meant, that chabura is the beginning of the pasuk. If any Balkori would read chabura tachas chabura, kviya tachas kviya after that, you know that he doesn't know what he's talking about, or there might be a mistake in the Sefer Torah, chas v'shalom. So Mike Biblik, so what's the machlokes? Rabbi Sovar kviya tachas kviya, when it says in the pasuk kviya tachas kviya, the lespa chabura mashma. The Torah says kviya tachas kviya, even if it's only a burn, meaning you burned the other guy's fingernail, where there was no chabura. Kasa Rahmana Chabura. Why did the Torah add Chabura at the end? The Gluya Law to go as a Giloi. The Kviya is for Chabura in Eloi Loi. An innocent Kviya on itself is garnished. You cannot get compensation. If it's a Kviya with a Chabura at the end, you're both together. So it's got to be Tsar B'mokim Nezik, not a Tsar Shaloi B'mokim Nezik. However, Ben Azi Sova, Kviya D'Izba Chabura Mashma. When you start off with the word Kviya, it's Mashma, all different types of Kviyas. A Kviya Sai that it caused a Chabura, Sai it didn't cause a Chabura. Kosa Rachmana Chabura, the Gliya Law, the Kviya, the Lesba Chabura. In other words, just the opposite, that even if you have a Kviya without a Chabura, that also your Chayiv, a Tsar Shaloi B'mokim Nezik, and that's why Rabbi said, our mission has been Azaihi, based on this interpretation of the price. However, Rapapa, who was the successor to Rav, as we know, is Maskel Rapapa, Adrab, Ilch Mesafer, Punkfaket. I would say just the opposite shot. Rebbe Yoyme Kviya Nematchila. What does he mean? Sovar Kviya de Ispa Chabura Mashma. That normally when I see the word Kviya, I think in terms of you cause the guy a heat burn. You didn't go and cause a heat burn on his fingernail. You're talking about a heat burn on part of the body where Nebuch, there was a chabura as well. That's why the Torah says you can have independent chabura, which has nothing related to a heat burn. So therefore, it's being megala that this heat burn is even without a chabura. And then you have a case of a stama chabura without a heat burn. In other words, the two could be mutually exclusive. And therefore, our mission would be like Rabbi. And Ben Azai, I mean just the opposite. Chabura nemet chila. So the kviya the less b'chabura mashma. When it says the word kviya in the Torah, l'chari mashma any type of chabura. Kasa rachmana chabura. The gluya lo the kviya is b'chabura in iloi loi. V'maskona kaimi. Maskona kaimi means that when both Rebbe and Ben Azai said kviya nemet chila and chabura nemet chila, they were not talking about prior to doing the drasha that it says chabura at the end of the pasuk, but they mean after the Seif Pasik, I have Kviya and I have Chabura. What does it mean together as one? Why have we benefited by switching it around? Rebbe for Ben Azai, Ben Azai for Rebbe. It's a major benefit of Zotrashi. Because who is Mesada the Mishnayis? Rebbe. So isn't it more Mesada to go and say, our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe? the author of the Mishnah, rather than saying that then Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnah, he discounted his own psak halacha.
Many times he does. Ben Azai was many generations before Rebbe. Ben Azai is a contemporary Rebbe Akiva.
I don't know about many times, but the Gemara holds that it's better. If you look at Rashi, Ibcha Mestavra, halfway down, the Rashi's in the middle lines. So Rashi, Masisa Rebbe, Amisha's Rebbe, Veloy Ben Azai, Toli Akrin Le Mi Rebbe, to who Sidra? Why should we go and take it away from Rebbe, who is Masada? If I have no choice, I'm going to say, yeah, Rebbe in this case didn't pass like himself. He passed like somebody else. But if you have no concrete reason to go and say one way or the other, and this Braisa is susceptible to both interpretations, each one says something Kviya and Nemra, and he says Chabura Nemra, so the question is, what do they mean? Do they mean, initially it's Kviya with Chabura, comes the Chabura to take away the Chabura and just Kviya alone, or the other way around? Kviya without Chabura, and now the Chabura is coming to tell you amid the Chabura. You can learn it either way. So therefore, it's more mustaba to learn this way, that's Rebbe Lishitose, as opposed to Rebbe discounting his own view and paskening like Ben Azai. Or Inami, Skonzai, to call the Alma Kviya, Ben Disba Chabura, Ben Dalesba Chabura Mashma. The truth of the matter is, the word Kviya on its own is susceptible to both. Mita Chabura, Ona Chabura. Vahacha Bechlalu Prat, Merchok Zemizeka, Mevli, the Shal is whether we should Darjin Bechlalu Prat. As you know, when we have a Klalu Prat, it's ein bechal ela mashe befrat. We don't say it ke'ena prat. That's why klal uprat to klal. He's just talking about klal uprat. Now what's the klal uprat? The klal at the beginning of the pasuk is a kviya. And kuli yama moide kviya ben the isba chabura ben the lesba chabura. So therefore that's a broad term. Any type of kviya, whether it involves a hezik or doesn't involve a hezik. But then after that we have chabura tachas chabura, which is only chabura. It doesn't talk about kviya. It talks about only chabura. So that's a klal uprat. However, it's meruchik zemizem, because in between, in the middle of the pasuk, what does it say? Petza tachas potza. So it's not one next to each other. Sedu ashtikel mechitza or chatzitza in between. And doesn't he machlekes? Bechlal uprat, meruchik zemizekem, Rebbe Sabein, no, so bechlal uprat. You cannot be done at bechlal uprat. And therefore, we started off with a big klal. The klal of any type of kriya. And we finished off with the prat, but you can't go and put the two together. Why can't you go and put the two together? Because you have the petzatachas potza in between.
Can you do the pasuk again? I'll explain that. What's the klal?
No problem. You have kviya tachas kviya,
right.
Petza tachas potza, chabura tachas chabura. So you have three different tachas here. Right. The first you have the kviya, then you have the petza, and you have the chabura. This braisa, as you noticed, didn't mention the word petza even once. Because, as we said before, petza tachas potza is used for a totally different drasha, to go and tell you, litein tzar b'mokam nezik, that you have to go and have a second compensation of the five compensations. Aha, okay, so leave out the words petza tachas potza for purposes of our gemara. Now we have a klal mitaprat. The klal at the beginning of the pasuk is kviya tachas kviya, any type of kviya, mitachabura, onachabura, like Gemara said on the bottom. The kuli alam boida kviya bein dispa, bein blespa. So therefore that's a klal. At the end of the pasuk is chabura tachas chabura. It's only talking about a chabura. It's not talking about a kviya. Just talking about a chabura alone. So that's a prat. So now you're going to darshan. You're going to go and say, ein bechlal emamashe befrat, what type of kviya? Only the type of kviya that also involves a chabura. That's if you have the klal uprat one next to each other. Ain't b'chal mashe b'frat. Oh, well, here we have a mechitza between the klal of the kviya and the prat of the chabura. What is that mechitza? We have the petzatachas potza in between. In that case, do you leapfrog? Do you jump over the petzatachas potza and say, I have a klal here and a prat over there? Ain't b'chal mashe b'frat. Only mita chabura, not ona chabura. Zokti yimara, that's the machloikis. Rabbi Sabra, ain't no noise b'chal uprat. We do not darshan klal uprat, and therefore you don't say any b'chal ala mashe b'frat, and therefore the kviya is both mita chabura or ona chabura. And you're chayiv in both cases. Or ben azi sabra, don't noise b'chal uprat. No, you have to be done b'chal uprat. And since you have to be done b'chal uprat, then ein b'chal mashe b'frat, the only type of kviya that you're going to be chayiv on is a kviya b'mokim chabura, kviya b'mokim nazik, and therefore not like our Mishnah. See, our Mishnah taka goes according to Rebbe, like we just said now, like this price of kviya nemer tchelik. Now the Gemara said v'chiteima chabura l'Rebbe lamali. Once Rebbe is no longer learning klal uprat, in other words, according to Ben Azai that I have a klal uprat, so I need the prat the chabura to go and identify and limit the kviya, that only a kviya sheyesh ba nezek as well, the sheyesh ba chabur. But according to Rabbi, that you're saying pein sheyesh ba veimba, what do I need the chabur for? Say, well, lamali l'dam yaseirim, to go and give extra fund. What means extra fund? Let's look at the Rashi. Dom Yisaidim, about 8 lines into the narrow lines of Rashi. Dom Yisaidim. Di iloiksif al kvi tachas kviya. Haver meaning, bein ispo chabura, bein lesbe chabura, to make kviya mishalim. I would go and say, it makes no difference. A heat burn is a heat burn. You always pay the demei kviya. But I would think you would not go and pay both for the kviya and for the chabura. That's what I have the extra wood chabura to go and tell you. That if you have a heat burn, if there's a hezek as well, make sure that if there's taka no hezek, then you just pay the tzar even without the hezek. But if it's a tzar, but mokim nezek, you got to go and pay. Yeah.
Hold on. We already have the 5 dvarim. So dummy miserim, we're talking about what? Tzar now. But tzar we already have from petza tachas petza. What's the dummy miserim here? It feels like it's...
I understand. The case of Lithin tzar, but mokim nezek is talking about that the ikr was a hezek. The guy went in chas v'sholem, he knocked out the other guy's eye. When you knock at somebody's eye, number one, the person is, his value goes down dramatically on the slave market, right. So that's nezik. But besides that, it hurts. It hurt at the time of the blow, and it hurts subsequently. That pay. So do you have to pay? Yeah, that's a tachas potzi. You have to go and add on the pain to the hezek. Yeah, sorry, won't condition. Now we're talking about the other case. Here we're talking about that you started off with a heat burn. So therefore, the principal problem over here is the tsar, and not the hezek. Varaya, even if it's shaloi b'mokin chabur, you have to go and pay too. Okay, so what happens? The person does a heat burn. He wants to be machmer. On Reuven, he puts a heat burn on the nail. On Shimon, he does it on his hand. When you do it on the nail, there is no chabur. When you do it on the other person's hand, there is a chabur. Now he can't use that hand for the next week or two or whatever. So I might think in such a case, you only have to pay for the tzar. Because since I'm learning kaviyah, a heat burn is ben sheyeshba, ben sheyemba chabura, you pay the same amount. I did a heat burn costs $500, regardless of whether it's on the nail or whether it happens to be on the hand. Kamash malon, no. In case where this heat burn caused, in fact, damage, then you have to go and pay both, not only for the heat burn for the tzar, but also for the hezek that was caused at the same time. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Mitchum. We continue tomorrow.